Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdar.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy to have you with us as we continue our study of commentaries on the Quran. Previously, we talked about Muslims' claim that Muhammad performed great miracles as they went on to add hundreds of miracles to him. We discovered that these are just simply pure lies from the bottom of hell, simply because Allah in the Quran declared that Muhammad never performed any miracles. And when we examined why Muhammad could not perform any miracles, we discovered many of the ridiculous reasons, like only Allah has the signs or the miracles, and Allah sent it to people before and they did not believe, and I am just a warner, Muhammad said to his people and to his companions in his days. Then we discover from our studies that each and every one of these silly excuses were simply pure lies. For in the Quran, we know that Moses performed many miracles, and the people of Moses believed in him. Even the Egyptian sorcerers believed in Moses because of these miracles. We learned about the Jesus of Muhammad in the Quran. Isa, son of Mary, also performed great miracles as he actually fulfilled four of the attributes of Allah in the Quran as the creator, as the healer, as the one who gives life, and as he is the knower of what is hidden. These are attributes of Allah in the Quran were given to Isa, son of Mary, except in Quran chapter 3 verse 49 and in Quran chapter 5 verse 110, we learned that Isa performed all these miracles with the permission of Allah, as if Jesus did not perform these miracles by his own power or strength. But obviously, as we covered in our study, the 37 recorded miracles which our Lord performed in the Bible, as written in the four Gospels, we discovered that he did perform all these miracles by his own power, by his own strength. He never prayed, "Ask Allah, please help me," or "Please give me permission to perform this miracle or that miracle." And here, my friends, I have to confess that obviously it's not right. It's not fair. I will not dare even to compare my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ, to Muhammad or to anyone else, specifically Muhammad. For we know from the life of Muhammad, according to the writing of the people who loved him and from his teachings and from the word of Allah in the Quran, that Muhammad is simply a very sinful man. He was a child molester, a sex offender, a prophet pretender, a womanizer, an adulterer, a thief, a thug, a terrorist. So why even I would think to compare him to my Lord? That's why I decided to go a little bit further to share with you some of the miracles which Muhammad did not insert in his Quran about two other prophets. These were two simple men in the Old Testament, that is hundreds of years before our Lord Jesus Christ came in the flesh. Muhammad never mentions their names in the Quran because obviously Muhammad never heard their stories. That's why he never wrote to his gullible Muslim believers about these two great prophets. They were human and they performed great miracles. The second one of them actually has received the double portion of the first prophet. That is because he ask for it. The first prophet I would like to share his miracles with you is Prophet Elijah. As for the Prophet Elisha, who came after the Prophet Elijah, we will be talking about his miracles which he performed later. But for now, let me share with you the differences between Prophet Elijah's miracles and the self-proclaimed Prophet of Islam Muhammad miracles of his Quran. As we read throughout the Quran, we see that Allah mentioned one of the great signs, one of the great miracles which Allah performed is that he sent the water from heaven to earth. That rain to Muhammad is a miracle. Yes, indeed, that water which comes down from heaven to earth, the rain of every day, to the Muslim gullible believers is a miracle. And I can tell you, yes, we can make out of the rain a miracle, but not because the rain comes down from heaven all year long, but because some prophet will control that rain. But for now, let us look at what Allah said in Quran chapter 2 and verse 164. It says, surely in the creation of the heavens and the earth, and the changing of the night and the day, and the fulk, that is a non-Arabic word which means ships from Greek origin, which run in the sea with what is useful to people, and what Allah has sent down from the heavens of water, so he gives life by it, that is a rain, to the earth after its death, and he scattered in it from every creature, and in the change of the winds and in the cloud that are made to be subservient between the heavens and the earth are signs to people who understand. I know it's a long verse, but here is the most important part for that verse, which I would like to use in our study for the miracles of Prophet Elisha. That is, the rain come from heaven, and that is a sign or a miracle. Similar to that, what we read in Quran chapter 30 and verse 24. For there we read, and of his signs, that is Allah's miracles, are that he shows you the lightning, fearing and hoping, and he sends water from the heaven, so he gives life by it to the earth after its death. Surely in this are signs to understanding people. Once again, because Allah sent the water from heaven to earth, that is a rain, that is a sign to Muhammad. That's how Muslims believe in the miracles of Allah. Now let me share with you the real signs when it comes to water or rain. There is a man in the Old Testament known by the name of Prophet Elijah. And he came at the time when Israel did not have a godly king, but an evil one by the name Ahab, whose wife was named Jezebel. That is a real man of God. That is a true prophet who spoke to the king Ahab to tell him about the judgment of God on the land. And here is what he said, which was fulfilled exactly according to his word. In the book of 1 Kings chapter 17, we read that, and Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word. We're talking about 3.5 years that prophet of God said there will not be rain. And then we obviously know in the end of the account that prophet Elijah prayed and God sent the rain. As it is written in 1 Kings chapter 18, beginning from verse 41, we read, then Elijah said to Ahab, go up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of abundance of rain. In verse 42, so Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. Then he bowed down on the ground and put his face between his knees and said to his servant, go up now, look towards the sea. So he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And 7 times he said, go again. In verse 44 we read, then it came to pass the 7th time that he said, there is a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea. So he said, go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. Now it happened in the meantime that the sky became black with clouds and wind, and there was a heavy rain. So Ahab rode away and went to Jezreel. So what is a miracle? The miracle is the prophet of God, the true prophet of God. We are talking about prophet Elijah. Prayed and the rain stopped. As it is written in the book of James, chapter 5 and verse 17. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. And he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And Elijah prayed, and the rain came back, as it is written in the book of James chapter 5 and verse 18. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. This is the miracle, not because some rain came from heaven every day. Allah in the Quran declared it to be a miracle. No, it is about controlling the rain, when to stop it and when it come back. That makes it a real miracle. And this was the first miracle performed by Prophet Elisha.
600 years after Jesus Christ walked this planet, an obscure Arab preacher began proclaiming a radical and violent new faith. The would-be prophet, Muhammad. The new faith, the religion of Islam. And now, 14 centuries later, over 1.5 billion people claim to follow him and his supposed revelations from God contained within the Quran. But here in the modern West, what do we truly know about this deadly and dangerous religion that has conquered, killed, and enslaved hundreds of millions over the centuries? What do we know of its founder, of its holy book, and of its unalterable mandate to subdue and rule all of mankind? The Lord said through Hosea the prophet that, "My people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge." To combat this lack of understanding, the Straight Way of Grace Ministry travels all across the United States to speak to churches and organizations with captivating and media-rich presentations on a wide variety of topics. It's time you, your church, or your organization becomes equipped with the truth about Islam. We are only one phone call or email away from scheduling a single seminar or even an entire series in your area. Please contact us at 941-223-1703 or by email at Vicky@thestraightway.org. That's Vicky spelled V-I-C-K-I. You can also visit our website for more information at www.thestraightway.org. And now, back to our show.
Now let us investigate what happened when Prophet Elisha prayed and the rain stopped. That means there would be famine. Because without rain, there is no harvest. And if there is no harvest, there is famine in the whole world. And that is exactly what our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ explained when he talked about prophets are not accepted in their own country. As we read in the book of Luke chapter 4, beginning from verse 24. That is when our Lord Jesus Christ said, "Assuredly I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own country." In verse 25 we read, "But I tell you truly, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elisha, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a great famine throughout all the land." Notice here, the famine was not just in the land of Israel, where King Ahab lived. No. The famine was all over the earth. And in verse 26, here is a moral lesson to prove that prophets do not have respect or honor in their own country. As our Lord said, "But to none of them," these are the widows in Israel, "was Elisha sent except to Zarephath in the region of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow." To prove the point even deeper, Jesus went to the next prophet, that is Prophet Elijah, when we read in verse 27, "And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elijah the prophet, and none of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian." And here Jesus was speaking to the Jewish people, the wise one who knows the Bible very well. We're talking about Old Testament. And here Jesus was teaching about the two people whom the Jewish have no respect, are the only one who accept the truth of the true prophets of God. And because of that, they were blessed. A woman, and the Jewish people do not have so much respect for women. Or the Gentile, Naaman Syrian, who also the Jewish people did not have so much respect for. But the fact of this passage is that it was worldwide famine for 3.5 years, simply because the true prophet of God, Elisha, prayed that the rain stop And he also prayed in the end of the 3.5 years that the rain will come back. Obviously, because of this famine, we learn about the second miracle, which is the miracle of God providing food for Elijah by the raven. We're talking about the bird which normally steals food, the unclean bird, but somehow God will make that bird to take care of his prophet Elijah. And that is what we read in 1 Kings chapter 17, beginning from verse 2, we read, "Then the word of the Lord came to him," that is prophet Elisha, "saying, get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Kereth, which flows into the Jordan. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there." God commanded the ravens to feed Elisha. In verse 6 we read, "The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook." Obviously, he lived there for quite some time. As we read in verse 7, "And it happened after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land." Obviously, this is a great miracle, but it was God performing it for his prophet Elisha, as some people think that it was his own miracle for himself, which is not true. Now, prophet Elisha will perform another miracle, and that is, as we move on to verse 9, where God gave a new command to prophet Elisha. "Arise," the scripture said, "go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you." And if you think about that verse, you may assume that that widow is a rich one, and she have lots of food. After all, Elijah is going to be living there for quite some time. But that's not the case. For as we continue to read in the scripture, in verse 10, "So he," that is prophet Elijah, "arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, indeed, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, 'Please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink.'" In verse 11 we read, "And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, 'Please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand.'" Listen now to the condition of that woman. In verse 12 we read, "So she said, 'As the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a pin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son that we may eat it and die." We're talking about the last piece of bread that widow is going to cook. And she knows after they eat this last bite, she and her son will die. But listen to what prophet Elisha said in verse 13. "And Elisha said to her, 'Do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first and bring it to me, and afterward make some for yourself and your son.'" Notice here, he did not say make a half a cake for yourself and for your son. No, no, no. Make some. That means there will be more flour and there will be more oil, because God, who made the promise to prophet Elisha that he will provide to him through the widow, he will provide also to the widow and her son. Continuing with the words of prophet Elisha in verse 14, "For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth." That was miracle number 2. As we see prophet Elisha continue to live with that widow, and God provided for him and for her from the little flour and the little oil she used to have. Well, let's move on to miracle number 3. For in 1 Kings chapter 17 and verse 17 we read, "Now it happened after these things that the son of the woman," that is the widow, "who owned the house became sick, and his sickness was so serious that there was no breath left in him. In verse 18, we read, "So she said to Elisha, 'What have I to do with you, O man of God? Have you come to me to bring my sin to remembrance and to kill my son?'" In verse 19, we read, "And he," that is prophet Elisha, "said to her, 'Give me your son.' So he took him out of her arms and carried him to the upper room where he was staying and laid him on his own bed. Then he cried out to the Lord and said, 'O Lord my God, have you also brought tragedy on the widow with whom I lodge by killing her son?' And he," that is prophet Elisha, "stretched himself out on the child 3 times and cried out to the Lord and said, 'O Lord my God, I pray, let this child's soul come back to him.'" Notice here, prophet Elisha was praying to God. Prophet Elisha was begging God for the performing of this great miracle. In verse 22, "Then the Lord heard the voice of Elisha, and the soul of the child came back to him, and he revived. And Elisha took the child and brought him down from the upper room into the house and gave him to his mother. And Elisha said, 'See, your son lives.'" This was miracle number 3 performed through the prayer of prophet Elisha. And now we ask a question. Why didn't Muhammad perform any miracles like prophet Elisha? And to continue our study of commentaries on the Quran, please join us again for the next broadcast. And until we meet again, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul, but now the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this: "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.